All right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming Plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I will be your handler for this operation, and I'm joined by my great friends, by a friend who's so much closer than he usually is, John, playing Benedict.
And so much more jet-lagged than he usually is, which just kicked so in much. About 15 minutes and into the end, yeah. Just before the end, I was like, oh, things are starting to blur.
Be a good sesh, boys.
It's going to be, we're going to get Jorinho's John at his best, and of course, Dace playing Busiek.
Hello!
Is it Dace or is it Busiek? Who did we just hear? The world may never know. And of course, Brad playing Hank.
Hello.
How you guys doing? How you guys doing this time of year? Apparently Brad has a great big trip ahead of him. He's going to take Indiana. A page out of Jean's book and try to evade the authorities for a while.
Probably smart at this point after the incident.
Yeah, just dry out your fingers. That's what I learned.
Right, that's how you do it. That's how you trick him. That's how you trick him at the airport by not having fingerprints.
The glitch.
The glitch. Yeah, it's like that scene in Men in Black where Will Smith puts his hands on that big globe thing and it burns off his, but like he doesn't know it's about to burn off his fingerprints.
Fingerprints out your motherfucking mouth.
Samuel L. Jackson. As if Samuel L. Jackson was playing Men in Black.
The infamous slap when he slapped Chris Rock.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
That's what it was. But I have a question for you guys.
Fingers out your
mouth. Goddamn mouth. I have a question for you guys. It's kind of, that kind of gets into like the, you know, the way that I have and the way a lot of people have explained something like Delta Green is that, you know, and I think it's a good touchstone to go to be like Delta Green as an organization, you know, and within the game is that you're part of an organization that's kind of like a combination between the X-Files and the Men in Black, you know, which is, you know, again, kind of cultural touchstones that people can use to orient themselves to this. I have seen different things in, like, especially like on Reddit and stuff like that, you know, like where people have a lot of room to talk about their opinions on that. Where do you guys think that Delta Green, or at least in your experience of Delta Green as the organization, deviates from that kind of idea? Like, where do we miss the nuance of what's going on with something like, oh, it's like the X-Files, or oh, it's like Men in Black? What you guys
think? Well, one of the biggest things that causes such a struggle with PCs and Delta Green, and it's not funded. It's not a government-funded organization. Like, you're traveling to these places with your own money, right?
Often.
So, you don't have the luxury of funding.
I saw, like, a meme or somewhere said it reminds me of this. It's like, when you start playing Dungeons & Dragons, it's like, what you think it'll be. It's like, Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones. And it's like, what you get. It's like, it's always sunny and Faerun.
That is very apt.
That's so good.
So like, yeah, I mean, I think what you said was pretty accurate on the more serious, whenever it's serious case solving, it's X-Files. And then when you're having fun, it's like Men in Black when you're doing wacky shit, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a part of it which it's like intrinsically unknown, like even the program and the Cowboys, Delta Green and the Cowboys, and it's intrinsically like you're not even sure if it's a real thing that you're working towards.
That's a good
which
point.
There's no analog for that. Like, how do you, it's a mass conspiracy type thing, but at a fundamental level, you fundamentally doubt what the hell you're working towards.
Yeah, there's like just a built-in inherent question or a mystery. Like, you're not grounded on any level, not even on the organization that you're working for. That's it. You solve the puzzle.
I'm
basically
good at
like
John wins.
I told you.
What's that movie with
what does he win?
I don't know. I got
joking.
No, not joking. Hell no.
Basically like the movie A Beautiful Mind, where he's like
Oh, yeah.
Basically, like a brilliant mathematician. I don't know if John or Dace have seen it.
Spoilers for A Beautiful Mind.
And then, but you know, they basically make you think that, like, the CIA's getting him to do...
It's like code breaking, right?
Code breaking, but he actually has, like, a little bit of psychosis.
And just a little bit.
Yeah. He's, like, imagining
just
it
tad.
All. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a dash of psychosis to keep things spicy.
That would be... God, that would actually be... What a fascinating operation. And I don't know if you would really... Like, it definitely would not be something ever published, right? But an operation where it turns out that, like, one of your team members is just, like, literally insane. Like, schizophrenic.
That would be cool.
That they have... Or that your handler, maybe, has, like, literally lost their mind. There's... And we have touched on this before, but, like... But nothing is happening. It's all mundane. But,
well,
like,
that's the final scene. We wake up in that mental health facility, and we've just been there the entire time.
Been there the whole time.
And everyone there went through the same steps we went through, and it's just like a repeating cycle.
But no, there's something really to that. It's like that idea of, like, who are we working for? And Brad, like, even you know, like, putting that in at the end of Music from a Darkened Room, of, like, Summers being like, you organization guys, you program guys are always like this. It's like, oh, fuck. Who are we working for?
Yeah. Right.
Joe, quick question.
You never know. Yeah.
Speaking of psychosis and things that are not able to be published, were you able to salvage anything from the intro of the sanity check that we recorded last week?
I told you that I was going to listen to it, and I still have not done it. Oh, no. I've had a lot going on. I'm not, but just the fact that you're asking about it makes me not want to hold my breath.
It's because I care, and I really.
You guys are missing out. If you're not, if you're not on the Patreon, you're not listening to Sanity Check. You're missing out on these guys at their best. Just especially when I'm not there to wrangle things in.
The question is, best at what?
Best at what? Best at getting us canceled. I hope that's not it.
Que sera, sera.
Sera, sera. Ah, man. Yeah, well, listen, speaking of unexpected journeys that we go on, let's talk about what happened last time. How about that? Unexpected
deal.
Places.
You got yourself a deal, buddy.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Only for joking. We're only here. Listen to your recap for a joke.
If we unionize, we will drive up our prices.
Hell no.
Headphones out and 1, 2, 3.
I will not be participating in collective bargaining. I will close down the company.
My own little fiefdom.
My own.
That's something we haven't heard for a while. Oh, man. All right. Yeah, but last time was a bit of a doozy. Like, man, like, and I really didn't expect it to go that way. You guys were in Ambrose's workshop. You were kind of trying to figure out, like, what exactly is going on here. At the beginning of the last episode, you guys were standing in this layout of Abigail Wright's apartment, and you were seeing all of these, let's call them what they were, you're seeing all these props from the operations that you've been on from different parts of your lives. And one of the most fascinating ones is off of the back of a successful push roll by Benedict. You guys even then find that Michelle's apartment is in there too. And that actually leads you guys to a really interesting, something that we have not been able to do in character. A really interesting thing where you get to say, oh my god, like, Busiak and Benedict and Hank have a link. The link is the McAllister building, which is something that I don't think you guys had ever known in character. I will note that it was implied that maybe Benedict implied that maybe they had something to do that had to make some hard decisions.
I didn't go all the way through with that. Yep.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, yo, Busiak, we definitely set that place on fire.
Someone has a propensity for fires.
Right. But you guys did
it
say, I think
Benji.
It was Hank. It was Benji. You know what? That's the great thing about the fact that Benji's
dead. Was.
Just throw him under the bus.
You're right.
But then Hank had said to Busiak, I think we inadvertently might have brought you into this. And that was a really interesting moment. But you guys are coming to the conclusion that all of this stuff is like, you know, there's always been this talk of people on their marks, people playing their parts, you know, that, you know, King Biles, this kind of director and all the stuff, that the play is everything and everything is the play. And this is the most dense manifestation of that. And I believe that old Hank even asked Ambrose, what about the final scene? And you were shown something that you've actually seen before. A scene of the kind of, what'd you call that? Like the day room of the Dorchester facility where you guys had kind of come to originally when you were lost there in the Dorchester in the night world. But you guys decided that you were done with taking all that sanity damage and you wanted to move the fuck on. So you did.
Joe,
you guys,
quick one. Was that just before we got accosted in the hallway, in the stairwell? Or was that afterwards?
You guys were accosted in the stairwell when you first entered into the Dorchester.
Okay.
The night version of the Dorchester.
All right, cool. All
right. You guys decided to go up with Ambrose to the roof and to board what he calls the orrery, which he then utilized to move you guys somehow to a different place, a place that he has called the Gallery of Shades, a place that he assures you where you can get your invitation fixed, or you can get your invitations, period. So, that being said, what would you guys like to do? You guys are just coming to a stop. Two of you, the older two of you, Benedict and Hank, have passed out and are now awake again. We're a little bit busy vomiting.
I would like to stop vomiting struggling. If I can.
First things first. Can we
you
stop?
Continue
vomiting?
To, no. You continue. All right. To
I'll just keep projectile vomiting everywhere.
I would say that as you guys are kind of coming to Ambusiak, you are also not feeling great, but you don't blow chunks. You guys are seeing where you are now. This strange, again, it's got the feeling of a museum. Large marble staircase going up to a second floor kind of terrace and rooms going off these grand banners, and you see the banners have that same kind of symbol that you saw on the flag, the two twin stars, the dark stars on a star field themselves, but that yellow banner. And Ambrose takes off his goggles and he's like here we are, Gallery of Shades.
Is where
so,
Sean, you asked,
how do we get the
can we click the button since we passed out?
I love that I'm an inspiration to you, Brad.
John.
It's a valid question, though. I do. John does ask that question.
I would say, I wish there was an option for us to do the, like, to click the button, but for it to take away skill. Then, like, this does not count as a short rest. Like, what's the opposite of that?
A short nightmare? A sweaty sleep?
A sweaty nap.
A sweaty nap. You took a sweaty nap.
It's only... Just talk about the scenery. So it's just like it just looks decadent. There's not actual like props here, like a museum or things in glass cases or anything like that.
Not that you can see, but this very much looks like an entryway, and maybe even toward one direction there are these huge ornate doors, but they have chains around them, like big entryway.
Locked up.
Yeah.
Hey, Ambrose. So, how do we get those invitations?
Oh, we need to find the scribe.
Where can we find the scribe?
Oh, it's in here.
Wait, the scribe?
Yes.
I may have... Is this a small machine?
Oh, yes. Decently small, about this big, and he kind of holds his hands up.
Oh, no.
And very much relates to you the size of the scribe that you guys witnessed in Dr. Elias Barbs' house.
Oh, I may have made a mistake, Ambrose.
But what on earth could you mean?
You know what? Let's just go find the scribe. I'll hold my tongue.
Hey. Watching you.
Nothing to see here.
Okay.
So, what do we do? Do we, like, look around? Or, like, you got any idea where the scribe is? Like, what the fuck are we doing here?
See over here. You'll have to look for it. I'll come with you. Just to help you work the thing. It's not... It probably needs to be oiled anyway. One of my oldest creations, honestly.
Benedict feels more and more guilty.
It's probably needs a good lubing up anyway. So it's probably good that I'm here. Let me grab my oil can, and we will be on our way.
Right.
Yeah, he kind of starts rifling around. What do you guys want to do before? And is there anything you guys want to do? Anything you guys want to talk about before Ambrose? You kind of got set off to find what you need to find.
Busiak doesn't know anything about a scribe, so
this is the thing that was riding the king in the yellow copies, right?
This is a thing that I smashed.
Well, we smashed one of them.
Was it in Wendy's house?
He's at Elias Barbas's house.
Mm-hmm. Elias Barbas.
Mm-hmm.
Just another thing.
Ooh, that's a lot of feedback.
Oh. Is it still there?
Oh.
Something's changed. Your mic is gone.
One second.
That's okay. I'm going to switch this over to the BRB for real quick while you fix it.
Might be good.
Can you all hear me now?
Yeah, that's good.
I got too excited and my foot knocked out my jack for my mic.
And we're coming back.
I'm going to start recording again. Note there's a splice here.
Okay. What were you saying, Brad?
Do we need to do a sync?
Oh, wait, yes. Do a quick sync.
1, 2, 3, clap. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
I'm just saying, this dude is doing nothing but spreading corruption and whatever the shit is.
You tell yourself whatever you need if you want to justify murdering this old
smacking
man.
Smacking old men in the face.
It's already not terrible. The only reason he seems to want to help you guys is because Benedict did him a solid.
Yeah, and then my handler took sanity from me for doing a solid.
That's right.
Bastard. So is he rifling around looking for the scribe and we have a chance to something?
I'm just giving you some time. He's trying to get his oil can or whatever he says he needs to do his maintenance. I'm just giving you some moment to talk about some stuff without him there or kind of talk about what you want to do here.
Hank, if this is the same scribe that I smashed, I'm a little concerned that we're not going to find the scribe.
Probably he's got multiple. Who knows?
I smash it again when we're done with it?
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. We smash it just to make sure.
I'm glad we're on the
same
page.
It's either the scribe or him.
Busiak, do you have any particular very niche set of people or things that you like to beat up on?
Benedict, I don't. I really don't.
That's weird, man.
Covered in mannequin parts.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I will admit to that. I fucking hate the mannequins. They suck. Yes, mannequins. I hate mannequins. All across the board.
Let's just stay on our toes, Benedict. I know you're kind of friendly with this fellow, but I don't trust him. Not one bit.
Hank, I'm just trying to be a nice guy and get us through this shit. I don't care one bit for this man.
Niceties are only going to take us so far. Likely he could be taking advantage of us. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, here it is. All right. Got my oil can, got my tool belt. You stay here, he says to the clockwork child. And it kind of just...
Oh, no, please take her with... Please, take... Ambrose. Ambrose, take
no,
take a
bad
look.
Neighborhood. Don't want someone to steal the orrery.
And he pulls out his fob and goes cheek cheek and unlocks the orrery.
You come back and this damn thing will be on blocks.
No notes. That's
good. Oh, yeah. All right.
I got nothing after that. You diffused it perfectly.
Okay, all right, let's go. See, should be, and he has this, and the whole area has this kind of vague ambient glow about it. And maybe there are some lights kind of hanging there. They're electric lights, but they don't seem to be producing this kind of ever-present gloom that's kind of floating over everything. Again, just like enough for you to see and move around, certainly, you know, and to see, you know, like the other sides of the room and stuff, but it's just like, it seems to be ever-present, and it's unnerving and unnatural. Not enough to make you guys roll a sanity check necessarily, but it's odd, certainly. So, do that in. I need all three of you to roll me a luck check, please. Please tell me what you get.
Hank got a 33.
I got a 97. Lucia
got a 39.
Okay. Yeah, so you guys start down the hallways. And the first hallway you go down, you guys start, like, go to the corner, and Ambrose is there, and he's got this kind of flashlight that is casting out, like, a much brighter light. He's like, okay, and should be paintings, and he kind of, like, darts around, like, pulls his head, like, around the edge of the doorway to kind of look down. He's like, ah, damn it. All right, well, this will do. And he starts going down. You see that you guys are walking down. Again, it very much feels like an art gallery or a museum. You see that you are starting down on this fine, like a velvety, like kind of rug that runs down the center of this grand hallway. And then on every side of it, you see that you are walking down a hallway full of statuary. On both sides, there are busts of people and then beautiful ornate animals, but also even like small little, looks like maybe clay, like clay moldings, like done by hand. Some of them are very amateurish, and some of them are grand and intricate and obviously created by masters. And as you guys are walking down this, there's nothing about... There is not a central theme here. This seems to be a kind of all different statues, all different carvings from all different times about all different things. What you guys are thinking as you're like moving down this hallway? You're following Ambrose here.
Yeah, I don't think Hank would have any, you know, necessarily be intrigued by what he's seeing. I mean, it's just some more, you know, he's keeping an eye out to make sure there's like, this guy's not gonna try to pull a fast one over him, basically.
Busiak is thinking about Richard. Like, thus far, they've been in some, the PCs have been in some really weird, ethereal, tangential sort of places that don't make any sense. But now it feels like we're getting closer to the central hub. And he's thinking that, you know, what if Richard went through these very halls to get to the feast? What if he took a journey to the scribe to get an invitation himself? Like, that's the whole reason Busiak is in here, is to find Richard. And he's just like, his senses are tingling, you know?
Right. Or,
yeah.
Wait, why does he think Richard's here? Or was influenced by the King in Yellow?
I don't remember how Richard started ringing the King in Yellow.
I do.
Do you remember, Joe?
Yes. You were approached by a man after you had helped apparently stop his bookshop from burning. And he presented mm-hmm. you with a gift, a book, that then Richard, mm-hmm. you took, Busiak took it home, threw it on the coffee table, and never looked at it again.
Yeah.
But Richard, Richard's a bit of a reader.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, totally. So, speaking of blame, like, it, you could say that it's y'all's fault that Busiak is here, but you could also say that it's Busiak's fault that Richard mm-hmm. came into this fucked up place. So, who
it's
knows?
Definitely
who can
Ambrose.
Say?
It's definitely. This definitely. Is one of those things where it's like Joe's trying to supply just like a general helpful NPC, and we all, or at least I hate him for some
standard.
So he can never tell.
Benedict will probably be interested in the statues, and I just rolled a history. I don't know if I can get anything from the statues and where we are or anything like
I'm
that.
I'm picturing it like, you know, like he says, like Renaissance bust to like, you know, BC old like Native American pottery, like stuff like yeah. that all over the place.
Well, there's this theme again. This is very much like statuary. Like this is like, these are things that are either carved from stone or built with clay. And again, it's like, and something you guys notice is there seems to be a huge swath of skill level, at least apparently, you know, in some of this. Some of it looks to almost be like a child's clay, you know, like just like amalgamation of something. But Benedict, you rolled a history, did you? What would mm-hmm. you get on that?
8 under 53.
Okay. Let's see, okay. Sorry, just rolling some stuff here for me. So, you guys are kind of walking, and you know Ambrose is coming, and he kind of turns back. He's like, he seems to be waiting for you guys, and you guys are there, but you turn around, you see that Benedict is kind of engrossed, in a particular piece that. Let's call it what it is. It's Michel Van Fitz. And it is this bust that he had made and put in his...
Oh, home. The one in my apartment.
Yes. You made a bust of Michel... Did you tell that to us?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No.
I'm sure.
Oh, you did?
Oh, it was a thing. But it was a weird entire thing.
Okay.
It was in the in-between time between 1995 and 2015.
Yeah. We had the hiatus.
Of Michelle.
This woman that you assault.
I swear to God, this is ripped out of a David Lynch movie. Like, picture Benedict, like, in front of Michelle's bus, splattered with pigeon poop.
Right.
And it's just like in that scene where the girl who died's dad is, like, breaking down in the mansion and, like, yes. hysterically crying and dancing. Like, this is Benedict in front of Michel Van Fitz's bus. He's just, like, tears running down his face as he dances and gestures wildly. This is some David Lynch shit.
Oh, man. But, yeah. So, that is, you guys turn around and you see that, again, that Benedict is kind of standing here, kind of placid and quiet and kind of transfixed.
Yeah, I guess Hank sees it. Michelle again.
Why is this here? Why is this here? He starts to get angry.
Well, it's pretty good.
No!
Not that bad.
I'm not asking you, Hank. I know it's good. It's beautiful. It's majestic.
This is art.
All right, calm down. Settle down.
And the thing is, it's like, and as you turn to the next piece, Benedict, you kind of, I don't know, there's like a part of you that kind of gets it. Like, not, like, you can't really put it into words, but you can feel the connection in these pieces. Maybe not even so much in the piece itself, but as the connection between the people who made them, right? There's something underlying, and you can't really quite say what it is quite yet. Ambrose is like, are we going?
Better. Move along, Benedict.
You good, Benedict?
I'm not sure.
I think you're...
Just your mic switch, I think.
Oh, tech issues.
Just, okay.
Now it's good.
You're good.
Oh, you're
cool. I'm not sure I'm good. I'm not sure I'm good. Why?
Hey.
Wait. Just 1 second, Buziak. Ambrose, where are we?
It swapped again. Okay,
back. What is this? What is this place?
This is the gallery.
Why? Why is this here?
Why? This one? This yes. statue here?
Yes.
I assume it has to do... It must please the king for it to be here. It's his gallery, after all.
But this is mine.
Oh, no.
She is mine.
This is not. Everything here is the king's. For the king. By the king. It's inspirational, isn't it?
In Benedict's mind, he was this close to smashing the bust. But after hearing that it's the king's, he thinks twice, thinking back to Benji's desiccated, dusty corpse evaporating in front of him, and his knuckles just clench white. And he goes quiet and he just moves on.
And Buziak will sort of like slap him on the shoulder and be like, hey, it's just weird shit everywhere, man. You know what I'm saying? Let's just keep walking.
Ambrose, he's like, oh, come on this way. See what we can find here. Benedict, could you roll me a d6? Jean, please. Tell me what you get there.
Any particular reason? Like, I don't really want to.
Like, don't worry about it, man. Just I got roll a 3. D6.
Why are you guys always so scared to roll dice? I don't understand.
Because you smile at us weird.
Because of your thin, creepy smile.
Every time you smile, your mustache goes to a curl and it's
it like, becomes a zombie.
Very evil.
It's like up. So you guys continue on and Ambrose is, you know, shine the light and he's like, and he does the same thing he did to the last door. He like approaches the side. He's like, and paintings. Ah, damn it. you know, as he shines the light down, he's like, oh, but this one will be useful. He's like, this is a little bit different part of the gallery. He reaches around the corner fishing for a light switch. He's like, ah, there it is. And click. And you guys see this dark room lit up in front of you as like the lights like, you know, as they kind of go into the distance, this huge room. And you see that arrayed in these long rows, each up on its little pedestal. About wardrobe just like change. 2 feet off the ground. What?
Wardrobe change.
Are mannequins. Each one of them wearing a different costume.
Bow, bow. Bow, 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 bow.
This is
you ever see it?
Is this the bit where you guys do the thing where you all you have the montage of you trying on
trying different
outfits.
Things and going in the mirror.
Specifically the dressing montage from Mighty Ducks 2.
It's a deep cut, man.
Yeah.
God, Brad knows the song.
Anyways, wait, no, I've seen Mighty Ducks like once.
Anyway.
So yeah, so you guys can. He's like anything here should be appropriate for the party. If you want to take something,
can I roll an intelligence to find the best one to take?
Hank will
stat look boosting for, like, one.
The least flamboyant looking costume, like the more, you know, just like just looking for something that's practical.
Okay. So Hank's looking for something non-flamboyant and practical. What is Benedict looking for?
I was trying to find the best one that would make me appear the most grandiose. And I failed.
Well, you already have this mechanical mask thing that fits over your head and is like a big
more,
pigeon.
Yeah, That's pretty grandiose. If you see that at a party, you're gonna remember that dude with the pigeon head.
Yeah, you're gonna remember Pigeon Guy. What about Busiak? What is Busiak thinking? Like, what are you looking for?
I'm honestly having a hard time with this. Like, I know what I would look for, but Busiak is just totally not concerned about clothes. Like, he wears like Walmart jeans and tees and hoodies. Like, that's his wardrobe. He's just so far removed from trying to look fashionable.
So maybe he just grabs the first thing he sees instead.
Yeah, maybe so.
Okay.
He would go for something comfortable over the first comfortable thing he sees.
Okay, so I would say, real quick, did you give me an intelligence check for
yes.
for Benedict? Was that, what'd you get? Did you pass? You
96 over 70.
Okay, you find what it reminds you of. Have you ever seen the outfits that North Korean generals wear with, like, all the medals that go down? Not their side, but down onto the leg.
I've got to look this up right
now. Pigeon head on top of it. It's like, it's that level of audaciousness and ridiculousness, and it's got this real military kind of feel to it.
I love it.
And you don't know what to make of it, but you're like, all
that
right.
That is fucking hilarious.
I love it.
I've never seen this before. It's literally it looks like a breastplate of metals.
Yeah. Right. So give me your absurd. Are you looking at it right now? You're looking at a picture of it.
Yeah.
Hank, give me some type of roll, see what you can find as you guys are in here.
Alertness?
Yeah.
Yes.
Success for Ben or for Hank this time. Okay. So Hank, you are able to find you are able to find a mannequin wearing, and there's a little label underneath it, like kind of labeling what this exhibit is supposed to be, and it just says nondescript street person. And as you look at it, the funny thing is the second you look away from it, you forget what it looks like. Like, it's that nondescript.
Cool.
Okay.
I had a thought about what Busiak might be looking for.
Yeah.
Two layers. The first layer, the closest things you can find to jeans and a t-shirt.
Okay.
But the second layer, if there is like a large cloak of some kind, it doesn't have to be ornate, just something that can conceal stuff.
That's actually exactly what I was thinking, that like probably nearby there's like almost like a not just a cape like on the back, but like a front bit, like, you know, a big cloak.
See that, like, cloak.
There you go.
Well, what I'm imagining that you turn and you see, kind of staring down at you, this almost 7-8 foot tall figure with this long golden cloak hanging over it, and it's almost like leaning over you, Busiak, and it has this flat white mask. And if the other two of you notice, it is the same figure
that
encountered in the labyrinth, the figure that with a mere touch disintegrated Benji. And Busiak appears to be attempting to take off its cloak.
Oh, I'd be careful around that one, Busiak.
What's wrong with this when I can finally look beautiful?
Ambrose, can we take that one?
Oh, of course. They're all free game in here.
Then it's probably fine, Hank.
Well.
Yeah, you take it off.
I guess Busiak takes it off, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. And underneath is just kind of like this, like, naked mannequin body. You know?
So, can I wear the white mask, like, the hood of a hoodie behind, like on my back, and then wear the mechanical mask on top of that? The Bernese Mountain Dog mask? How does that work?
I'm gonna say no, just because it sounds like a shit show.
It just seems like bad
either
fashion.
Or.
Yeah, I think it's either or. You could wear it instead of your mechanical mask. It's very masquerade-y.
I just like the Bernese Mountain Dog mask so much. Yeah. But I will... Okay. I'm going to wear this for now. I'm going to roll with this and just keep the Bernese Mountain Dog mask in my back pocket,
well,
so to speak.
Busiak, Hank's one is a little banged up, so if you have a spare, it's probably a useful one.
Just make me look fat?
No, you look gorgeous.
It's perfect.
I appreciate that.
Everything you look ever just like more. The and thing also... that killed one of my best friends.
I love to hear it. That's the exact vibe I was going for. And also, no, Hank cannot have my mask. I like this mask, and it was his call to use his mask as a bludgeoning weapon. That was foolish, and his reasons for doing it were foolish. No.
Yeah. So,
I don't
guys...
give a shit.
Yeah, okay, so you guys have found, you know, and Ambrose is like, well, you know, we kind of needed to come here anyway, I guess, but... still need to get to that scribe.
Lead the way.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, follow me. And he will, again, like, kind of take off. And you guys, as you guys are moving through, again, he's taking you down these hallways. And he's like, and again, he's like, he keeps getting to different hallways and poking his head through the doorways. And paintings! Damn it! You know, he's like, ah, ignore that one. You know, and that one seems to be, it looks like almost like in, maybe you go past one and it's like the whole hallway looks to be, it looks like someone has taken walls with graffiti on them and transplanted them here. And so there's just like different kinds of graffiti all down that wall. And maybe then, like, you know, you guys continue on and you see, like, an entire hallway and again, and paintings! Damn it. You see a whole hallway that seems to be, has all these pedestals and every single one has what looks like some type of, like, origami on it. Just, like, down, like, as far as the eye can see down this hallway. And eventually, could someone roll me a D6 again, please? Benedict. John, roll me a d6. I think you've got it. Oh.
Jesus, Ambrose, how much willpower do you have? That's a 6.
6, okay. You guys get to another hallway. And paintings! Ho! Ho! And you, he's like, oh! Oh, hold on. Oh, here we go. This isn't it, but... This is the right way, though. I know it. We can ask for directions. And he's like, come in here. Don't touch anything.
Okay. What's around us?
He turns the corner into this room, and you, as you go in, the entire of this room, and it's a huge room with basically no detail in it. It's like, it is a huge box of a room. Just completely squared off. No furniture. Stairs, no anything. Ceilings probably go up 30 feet. And all over the... and everything is white. Just like painted, just absolutely crisp white. It's like imagining like a clean room, like on a spaceship or something. Like, it's that stark white. And all around the floors and up the walls and on the flat ceiling are all these tiny little, I would say probably about like probably that big, you know, probably like what, like these 3x2 little squares of metal with something written on them. And they are nailed all over the ceilings and the walls and the floors. And as you go in, it looks as if there is a spider web connecting them in three dimensions. Some of them to the ceiling, to the floor, and the walls, to the other wall. And it's breathtaking in its complexity and in its beauty and its bizarreness. And floating around in the air is a man. And he doesn't seem to take much notice of you. And he is wearing one of these uniforms that you guys had seen previously. The uniform of the King's Men. Of the forces of Y'Till. This like red and yellow gaudy parade looking thing. And he is literally floating through the air. And he seems to be drawing out one of these thin filaments from a little inside one of his pockets and seems to be linking one tiny plate to another as he gently floats through the air. What's going through you guys' mind?
Can I talk to the guy?
Sure. Ambrose is trying to get to the middle of the room, and he's like being very careful to like step over these filaments, these strands.
Oh, it's like whatchamacallit too with the fox.
I'm unfamiliar.
Ocean's 12 or something.
Oh. Yeah, yeah. But it's not like an obstacle course. It's not difficult. It's not something you have to roll for. But as you guys begin into the room, you look down at maybe one of these plates at your feet. You see that it has a name. A name that you don't know. It seems to have a birth and death year on it.
So we don't... Can I roll an alertness to see if there are any names that I do know?
Sure.
Okay. Let me get off of North Korean generals and get back to roll 20. alertness.
I imagine, and Benedict is now wearing that, by the way.
Jingling.
It's absurd, dude. Like, on some of the generals, it goes down from the torso onto the legs. That's how many medals they have. But that is a success for Busiek. 47 under 53.
Yeah, I would say that Busiek, as you're going, you might very much see someone that you know. Maybe it's someone, or hell, maybe you even see Gustav. You know, Gustav Guts, you know, who's your partner. You know, your, what would you like, your, not battle buddy, but, you know, like your partner in the firefighters, you know.
Yeah.
See this name, and it has a birth year, and no, and like a dash, and it's blank. And it has a filament that runs from it, like, up to the ceiling, so high up you can't even see it. And about that time, you hear Ambrose. He's like,
Hildred! We're looking for the scribe.
And this man, he kind of turns and his entire body twists in the air. So as he turns to look at, very briefly before then kind of getting back to what he was doing, you hear him, he's like,
Ambrose, my old friend. Why, I am very busy. I do not have time. Very busy. I am so close.
As he, again, it seems to be like connecting these little name plates to each other, one by one, in this three-dimensional space. Again, floating. Flying around in the air.
Hey, Eldred, was that your name?
Yes. I'm afraid I have not had the pleasure, though I am quite busy.
Name's Busiek Bartok. Pleasure to meet you.
Busiek Bartok, one moment, where are you?
And he floats over, like, about 10 feet off the ground, on, like, the wall kind of behind you now toward the door. He says,
there he is, Busiek Bartok. Oh,
missed one. And he reaches out. And he, again, he's pulling this filament, this strand out of, like, his pocket or something, and he connects it. And you see that your name is already connected to God knows how many other names in this weird-ass room. And he begins to run a new one.
There we go.
So, I'm sort of looking for somebody. I think we might all be sort of looking for somebody. Looking for a guy named Richard, and, you guys, Hank and Benedict. What was the name?
Abigail.
I was going to say Alice. I would have fucked it up so hard.
So bad. Yeah, it would have been so embarrassing for you.
It would have been so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
He's like, Richard. Does Richard have a...
We'll pretend you know Richard's last name for the sake of this. He says, yes, Richard. Richard Smith. Yes, that's right. I have
a classic Filipino name, Richard Smith.
Filipino name, Richard Smith.
he married into it? How does that work?
He goes back to your nameplate and follows the strand with his fingers.
until he gets to the end. He says, Richard, yes, I... Well, there is no death date here, so whoever you are looking for, he is still alive.
Great. That is fucking great news. That is... So you don't know where he is, though?
No, it's none of my business. I'm very busy. I have no time to go tracking down every Richard I run into.
No, I respect that. I guess thanks for the good news. He's still alive. Still out there.
What exactly are you doing?
Ah. This is my great work. And he kind of gestures. And again, he's like floating upside down as he's saying this and gesturing to everything, seemingly unbothered with it, and seemingly unbothered with your intrusion, even if he is busy, as he says. He says, this is my great work. I am trying to reveal. I'm so close. If I build enough connections, I can finally discover the true king's name.
Oh, wow.
So you don't know the true king's name?
Well, I have my suspicions, and Ambrose goes, here we go. he says, after all, I am in line for the throne myself, he says, as he's kind of like corkscrewing from one side to the other, just kind of like spinning slowly as he goes. He says, but I cannot present myself as the king and without proof, and proof I almost have.
This is the second time that we've encountered a character that's made that claim, right?
Yes.
The maintenance guy and the... I forget his name. And I forget the name of the building again.
Broad Allen.
It was in 1995.
Broad Allen.
No, it was 1995 in the McAllister when you were in the night.
McAllister. In McAllister, yes.
Yes.
How in the world can you take... you're taking orders from this person. You don't know who he is?
No, I am not taking orders. I will discover his true name. Then... In all likelihood, it will be me, and then we will know.
And can we help? Can we help? Is there anything I can do to help?
No, do not touch anything.
What if I go and just touch this little string, and he like starts to go close to it?
You touch one of the strings.
No, I don't touch it.
And as you do it, you don't?
No. No touching. I was just gesturing. I am 100% sure. I do not... Benedict would not want to fuck with this guy's masterpiece in his art, in what he looks at. It's not in line with Benedict's character. Why? I'm not metagaming.
You go, but as you grow close this thing, and you're like, oh, well, what if I touch this? But you see now that it is, the strand has color to it. It's not just like a, it's not like a spider's web. It's actually much thicker than a spider's web. And it has a slight... brownish hue to it, like almost, but then you see that, oh wait, it appears to come to an end as in tied to then to another tiny strand, like there's a little knot. And as you're looking around, you see that every one of these strands is composed of these tiny strands that are all tied to each other from anywhere between like 2 inches long to like 2 feet long. But it's like every single one of these strands over this huge room is composed of all of these strands. And then it hits you, a realization. You get really, really close to one of the strands. Benedict's a smart guy. This looks like hair. Like human hair.
You said it's brown?
Some of them are brown. Some of them are red. Some of them are black. Some of them are blonde.
Whoa.
There's even a few wacky colors in there.
That's cool and gross.
So, that is what you see here. But Ambrose is like, Hildred, we need to go to the scribe. Do you know which way the scribe is? We're looking for the painting room. And Hildred, he's exasperated that he's been so inconvenienced. He's like, and he kind of like floats down toward the door and kind of like, it's like he's underwater almost. He kind of pulls himself upside down by the top of the, door jamb. He like pulls himself to it and pokes his head out in the hallway and looks left and right. He's like, I think it's the third one to the left. That one looks right. And then he pushes himself back off.
Well, let us know when you finish your artwork and tell us when you know who the king's name is, I guess.
Oh, trust me. I will tell everyone.
Cool.
And Ambrose is like, all right, goodbye, Hildred, good luck. And he kind of, and he turns to you guys and makes, you know, points his finger and like does the circle around his ear for like this guy's crazy.
He's like, hey. Oh, that's rich. He's
like, here we go. And he's like stepping very carefully over this web that's all over this room. You know, it's like a weird, crazy 3D murder board almost, of just like everybody connected to everybody else.
By that's hair.
Exactly what I thought they were going for.
Yeah.
But the hair is so fucking...
The hair is weird.
Cool. We can talk about this on Sanity Check, but... Yeah.
But yeah, so you guys get down, and Ambrose, he looks out the door. He's like, third to the left, huh? You guys look out after him and see that this hallway is insanely long, and you think that you could barely make out quote-unquote three doors down. It looks like it might be as much as a mile away. Of just an incredibly long trek through this, like, what looks like glass windows on all sides with, like, this, again, this ambient glow. But, I think, my friends, I hate to stop us here.
No, one more door. One more door!
One more door.
One more.
Okay.
One more door.
No, shit, Brad's gonna go. Brad's gonna go.
He's gotta go. Listen.
I wanna pluck the hair.
You wanna pluck the hair?
Like a harp, set the room a strum.
But you guys, it's been a weird one. It's been a weird time for you guys. It's been a weird time for me, and I hope you can appreciate that I'm struggling too.
Okay. To be honest, this is one of my favorite types of episodes to play, and also one of my favorite types of things to write. Just right. Like random weird shit that's cool. But yes,
everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much. We just had someone who dropped by for the first time. Crackety Jones, thanks for joining us here.
Hey,
it's a Delta Green. Hell yeah,
nice,
Dr. John.
Crackety Jones, thanks for subscribing too.
You look like him.
Yeah, but everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. It's getting spicy. It's getting weird, and these guys are one step closer. Now they've got some cool digs before they head off to the masquerade. So it was not a constant loss. And I've been rolling all sorts of shit in the background. I'm sure that's not going to affect anything.
Fine.
Excellent news. So, everyone listening, everyone watching, thanks. And you guys, thank you for being here, as always.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Joe.
That was a blast.
Yep. If you are listening later, if you are watching now, again, thank you for joining us. We will be back in 2 weeks for our next session. We really appreciate it. And remember, as always, everyone, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.
Bye.